John's Gospel, chapter 4, we want to continue with the praise of God. The praise of God. It's John's Gospel, chapter 4. And I'm reading from verse 20. Our fathers, this is the woman by the well. Jesus is having a conversation to the intent of enlightening her concerning certain spiritual realities. From the conversation, if you start from verse 10, you will know the woman had a religious background. She knew some things because she said, our fathers worshipped. So who is he calling father? The Samaritans were half-breed Jews. They were half-breed Jews, so they were a mixture. So they still regarded people like Jacob, Isaac as their father. So he says, Jesus, the woman said, our fathers worship in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Why? Verse 22, you worship, you know not what. Can you see that? So Jesus is saying something very crucial here. He says, worship is a function of knowledge. In other words, you cannot worship beyond what you know of God. Worship is a function of knowledge. What was the woman's understanding? Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is where men ought to worship. Now Jesus says, you worship, you know not what. For salvation is of the Jews. He says, we know who we worship. Can you see that? We know who we worship. So what is Jesus doing? Identifying with the Jews, but bringing the woman to greater understanding of what worship really is. You worship, you know what? We know who we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. What is he saying? Salvation is of the Jews. It means through the Jewish lineage, natural lineage. That's how salvation came, through the incarnation of Jesus. Hallelujah. But he says, you worship, you know not what. And that's so crucial because, again, worship as man knows it flows from his understanding of who God is. Now, whether that understanding is correct or not, what equals worship is his understanding. So, worship is a teaching. It's an understanding. It's a doctrinal persuasion. That's what worship is. Worship is not just going through the motions. Worship that dictates certain actions. The actions are dictated by an understanding or your comprehension of God. So your worship of God is your study of God. Your worship of God is your study of God. It says you worship, you know not what. We know who we worship because salvation is of the Jews. But when then says verse 20, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers. So neither you nor the Jews are true worshipers. In other words, the Jews were worshipping God in the shadows because they insisted on worshipping in the temple. And yet the prophets already said that God doesn't dwell in the temple built by human hands. One of the prophets had already said so. Did they pay attention to what the prophet said? No. So while they thought they were worshipping God to the best of their knowledge, they were not worshipping God in spirit and in truth. You notice, we know we worship because salvation is of the Jews. You know, put your hand there, go to Matthew 5. So you understand what I mean by worship has to do with your doctrinal persuasion. You cannot worship beyond your comprehension of God. And this is why when we teach certain fundamentals about worship and praise, people tend to think, oh, that is extreme. God understands anyway. Well, Jesus said, you know not what, who you worship. We know who we worship. You know not what. So worship must spring from what? Understanding. Are you Matthew 15? Look at verse 7. Are you there? Jesus addressing the Pharisees. He says, you hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Can you see that? They are going through the motions. Now, when it says their heart is far, can you see? It says, these people. This is a prophecy given by Isaiah. These people, they draw near to me with their mouth and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far. So their heart that speaks about their understanding of Are you there? So again, Matthew 15, verse 8, Jesus is teaching, and he says, "These people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So verse 9, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men." Can you see that? So notice, teaching for doctrine. In vain do they worship. What is does Jesus call vain worship? Their heart is far from me. So what does a heart that is near to Christ, what does it do? It has understanding of Christ. That's what he's talking about. He says, they draw near to me with their lips. Okay, with their words and their lips. They say that, but their heart is far from me. They teach for commandments, okay? The commandments of men, for doctrine. So it says, in vain do they worship. So worship is a function of teaching, your understanding, your comprehension of God. That's what worship is. So you cannot worship God in spirit or in truth without a revelation of who God is and what he has done. And this is so crucial. Remember, we went to the book of Revelation. Can you remember? Look at Revelation. Did you see what we saw in Revelation chapter 5? How many of us remember that? Revelation chapter 5. And you see, you notice even the elders. And you can tell the elders have to do with the Jewish nation. In Revelation chapter 5, we're going to come back here now. Revelation chapter 5. This is so crucial because Jesus was rebuking them and talking about the fact that, because to obey God's word is worship. And he gave them an instruction. Moses told them to honor their father and their mother. And then they came with the commandment that said that if you dedicate a gift to God, and if that gift is what you wanted to give your father and mother, as long as dedicated to God, you no longer have to be obligated to bless them. Jesus said, no, that's not the teaching. That's not the worship of God. That is the commandment of men. That's what Jesus was saying. So, Revelation chapter 5, are you there? When you're reading the book of Revelation, you start from the beginning. For the purpose of this teaching, we're starting here. Because the Bible calls it the revelation of Jesus Christ. Say, the book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. It's not about seven-eyed monsters. Say, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay, put you don't agree. Get to chapter 1. Because if you want to decode a book, what do? You start from the beginning. How was it introduced? That should tell you what it's about. Now, you don't import your meaning. You can read this book and have nightmares. It is not that the book is producing nightmares. It is your interpretation that's producing nightmares. You can read the Bible and come up with a doctrine that God says to kill every unbeliever. It is, you will find scripture for it. But is that interpretation of the scripture? That's a different issue entirely. They came to Jesus and told him, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, in the very act. That place always baffles me. How can you catch somebody in the very act if you are not lying in wait? You don't understand. It is after they have done the act. But in the very act, and then two people, not one people, it's one person you brought. Where is the other person? So it's a conspiracy. That's the only way. We caught her so the act was here when you snatched her. You were looking. How can you catch somebody in very, I don't understand. Except you were spying and you planned, you had issues with the woman because the man did not show up. Do you understand? Moses said we should stone her. But what do you say? Hypocrisy. As you now say, speak against Moses. Did Moses say you should stone her? Yes. What did Moses mean when they said they should stone her? He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. Okay. One by one, they started dropping stone. What is Moses' recommendation? He that is without sin. Who is the one without sin? The one we're speaking. He's the one that was stoned now. How does he stone? He stones condemnation. He stones unbelief. What did he say to the woman eventually? Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee? Neither do I condemn thee. What was Jesus doing? Stoning. If you follow verbatim what Moses wrote, what do you think? You see, the Bible already says, God has no pleasure in the death of a sinner. But did Moses write that those who are caught in that should be? But what was Moses trying to teach? And what did the hardness of their heart interpret that Moses was saying? That's the problem. This is the same approach throughout all the scriptures. They got angry with Jesus. Your disciples are going on the Sabbath day and they are eating corn. on the Sabbath day. They are going to the fields plucking corn, the day of rest. Which other day is better to eat corn? Even on the day of rest. So Jesus was looking at them that, okay, I'm not the first person to break the law. David also did by faith. Because David knew what that law meant. Did David not enter the temple and eat bread, which is not lawful for anyone but the priest to eat? So Moses, are you a priest under Moses' law? No. Under the law of faith? Yes. Okay, you didn't get that one. Moses' law, who becomes a priest? Anyone that comes from the tribe of Levi. By faith, who is a priest? I will make you a nation of priests. How did David really love Moses? David knew by faith he was a priest in Christ. Oh. Hallelujah. So Moses ate. Nothing happened to Moses. Sorry, David. Because David ate by faith. Will something happen to other people that eat? Yes, if they eat in unbelief. Because David rightly interpreted what Moses was saying. Hallelujah. Listen, Moses and Christ do not contradict each other. Jesus said, Moses wrote concerning me. Moses wrote concerning me. How do you know they didn't understand Moses? They were offering sacrifices, Moses offered none. Because Moses knew Christ was a sacrifice. Did they understand? No. What did the Bible call that? Unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. So it will look as though he's explaining. That's important. He's explaining. Are we in Revelation chapter 5? Okay, we're in chapter 1. Okay. Verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant. Once you read that first verse, everything you're going to read must be interpreted in the light. Notice the revelation which God gave him to give unto his servant, which he now signified by the hand of the angel. So angelic communication is why you have all those strange images and figures. Angels speak in mysterious ways. The understanding of the gospel is not as sound, even as you and I. So when they're trying to communicate, an angel went to Peter after going to Cornelius. He now came to Peter so that he can go to Cornelius. How did he tell Peter to go to Cornelius? Arise, Peter, kill and eat. If it's you, will you understand? Is that not complicating the matter? Okay, there's somebody called Cornelius. Get up, go to him. No. He showed four-footed beasts in a vision 3 times. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. That's angelic communication. It was when the Spirit now said, go with them, doubting nothing. The Spirit now said, not angel, the Spirit now said, that Peter understood that, okay, arise, kill and eat is the angel's way of saying the Gentiles are ripe for salvation. So if you bring out fork and knife, you know there's a problem. Because you don't understand what's going on. That's the same hardness of heart that the Jews had towards the word of God. Glory to God. Can you see why they had a problem when it comes to worship God? Because they didn't understand the scriptures. They didn't understand the scriptures. So it's the revelation of Jesus Christ which he gave and signified by the hands of his or the angel to his servant. That's how you interpret the book. So by the time you begin to see all kinds of imagery and figures of speech, you must understand that it's me. Nobody has 7 eyes. Say amen. No beast has 7 horns. Hallelujah. Except the one you see in fantasy films. Okay, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with what? 7 seals. So you see the word 7, is it? Next verse. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? Stop. Was there a book? Yes. Is it a literal book? No. What can we call the book? The revelation of God sealed. Now, when you're reading the book of Revelation, don't throw away all your understanding of the epistles. Say amen. Don't divorce yourself from the epistles. When you enter, you just stop thinking of everything that the Bible teaches in the epistles. And just say that. That's why it's different. It's not different. That's why they put it at the end, so that you have first been baptized. You will have swum to the warm currents. You understand? Of Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, you will have been swimming that one current before you enter those strange waters, so that your interpretation will not be skewed. So I saw a book in the hand of the angel. The angel is proclaiming who is worthy. So he's telling you pre-resurrection, no one was worthy. Remember, John 1:18. No man had seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son. So who was introduced? God. Who can introduce God? Son. If a son will introduce God, who will God really be through a son? Who will God be through a son? Father. So until Christ came, was God known as Father? No. So no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he has come to explain him. So was the book sealed? Yes. Has the seal been removed? Yes. How was it removed? Through the death, burial, and what? Resurrection of Jesus. Do you understand that? So you read all that before you go to Revelation chapter 5. Don't divorce that from your thinking and your interpretation when you want to read Revelation chapter 5. So when he starts telling you the book, so you are seeing the book standing in the air like this, sees around it, it's imagery. The book is a revelation of who God really is. 1 Timothy 3:15. Hallelujah. Something tells me I should not be fast. No man. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Next verse. And without controversy. Great is what? The mystery that surrounds godliness. And because great is the mystery, God became manifest where? In the flesh. So do we agree great is the mystery of godliness? Yes. What was God's response to that great mystery? He became manifest where? In the flesh. Do you understand that, Sivan? So the first decoding of the book is that God became manifest where? In the flesh. So go back to Revelation now again. Let's use those principles and we start decoding. Verse 1 again. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne. So there's a throne. There's somebody seated. And a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. Seven stands for completeness. It stands for totality. It stands for thoroughness. And I saw. So don't start thinking 7777 is a number. No. No. He's using the figures which communicate something. Now it says, and I saw a strong angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to lose the seals thereof? So if it is a book, and the book represents the revelation of God, if you lose the seals or you open it, what will opening it mean? Explaining what is in the book. Is that clear? So next verse now. And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to what? Look thereon. So do you now see? Great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God was manifest in. What's an hour for God manifest in the flesh? God became a man. Who became a man? God. Why did he become a man? To explain the mystery about godliness. God or the Word became flesh. What is the Word? The Logos. The study. The revelation. The understanding became flesh. So God became a man to explain himself. Hallelujah. God became a man to explain himself. That the prophets tried to explain him, yes. Did they fully succeed? No, not one single one. By the time you put them all together, did they succeed? Yes. When they pointed to Christ. Hallelujah. Notice the book. The book is the revelation. So you can say the book is the utterances of the prophets concerning God. Hence the mystery. So when you go to Ephesians, which Pastor Solo quoted earlier, the Bible says, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. What does it mean by knowledge in the mystery? My knowledge in the explanation of the Holy Scriptures. My knowledge of how to teach what is contained in Genesis to Malachi. You will understand how I came by that knowledge when you read. So what is Paul writing? The revelation of the mystery contained from Genesis to Malachi, which is the revelation of God as seen in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So again, so no man in heaven nor in earth was found, simply means that it took God becoming a man to come to explain himself. Because no man had the ability or capacity to explain who God truly is. But the only begotten Son, Who is where? In the bosom of the Father. He has come to what? Declare him. Hallelujah. All right, so see what it says now. And I wept much. This is John. Because no man was found worthy. So John is taken in a vision to what happened pre-resurrection, before the cross. And you, as you're about to see now, he's having the discussion with Jewish elders. Because he says, and I went much. Because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, that is to explain it, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. So the minute you see the root of David, or the offspring of David, you know the person that's talking is a Jew. Now, in the Bible, you see three groups mentioned. There's the Jew, there's the Gentile, and there's the Church of God. Which one belongs to Christ? Thank you. Who is speaking here? Who is speaking here? One of the elders. Who is one of the elders? A Jew. So the elder is speaking based on his understanding of the Jewish writings. So look at how he calls Jesus the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Okay? The root of David. Is he correct about the root of David? According to prophecy, yes. Romans chapter 1. Quickly. This is a Jew talking. Romans chapter 1. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called. You notice the word to be, he said, like size. So it's not called to be, it is called. Hallelujah. So called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice what he calls it, the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's why he calls it the gospel of God. He will soon call it the gospel of Christ. He will still call it my gospel. He's calling gospel of God in context because he's talking about what the prophet spoke concerning God, which God promised before. Even so, before Christ was manifest on the earth, it's called God was declaring the gospel. Say amen. So let's see what it says next. Concerning his son, that is what the gospel is about. It's concerning his son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to what? According to what? The flesh. Can you see that? So according to the flesh, was Jesus a Jew? Okay. What did Paul say about Christ in his epistle? We have known Christ after the flesh. Henceforth now, know we him no more. So your description of Christ can no longer be as a member of the Jewish nation, but as who he really is, our Lord and what? Savior. Can you see that now? We have known Christ after the flesh. Henceforth now, know we him what? No more. Who is speaking? An elder. A Jew. So he's describing Christ from that physical lineage, that understanding. So his understanding cannot be what? Complete. Remember, no man has seen God at any time. So is this a man speaking? Yes. Who is he pointing out? Is interpreting or explaining who Christ is or who God is now. And how does he see God? You know, the book is still sealed. That's how you know to the elder the book is still sealed. Because he's seeing things that he should not be seeing. What is he? Lion. And you know, a lion is a ferocious beast. And it's going, you understand? They believed that when God shows up, he will rescue them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire. How? War. He will come on a horse with thousands behind him. They will slaughter, because they are used to slaughtering from the days of Joshua. War, war, war. The greatest king I ever lived. War, war, war. Warrior King David. Slaughter, kill. From the days of Goliath, slain. To the Philistines. So that was still, they are still interpreting Christ in the flesh. But Paul says, we know no man after the flesh. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So what he's saying, because this, there is a reason why John is being shown. Jesus is taking John back from the past to the present. And showing that even the elders, he didn't get the interpretation fully. So when you are listening, is this a vision? Yes. Why are there so much imagery? Because an angel is involved in the vision. The angel is speaking. The elder is speaking. John is listening. And John is also participating. But the ministry of angels is involved. Hence, plenty of symbols. See what happens there. So, thank you. So, weep not, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has revealed to the book, and to what? Lose the seals. What does it mean to lose the seals? to interpret the book. Next verse. And I, now, so this is who now, John now. That's what the elder said. That's what the angel said. He says, but now I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and what? Seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. God doesn't have seven spirits, amen? It's only one spirit, amen? Hallelujah. This is the angel talking. The seven spirits of God simply speak about completeness, thoroughness, totality of God. That the totality of God is found in the lamp. Say amen. I beheld seven eyes, complete vision. Complete vision. What did I see? In God's perfection, is as a lamp. I didn't see a lion. A conquering king, yes. How? As a lamb. If I know him after the flesh, who is he? Lion. If I know him according to spirit, who is he? Lamb. What's happening? The book is open. I saw a lamb as it had been slain. The sacrifice in the midst of the throne. So God among men in manifestation is as a lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Jewish understanding affected their worship of God. That was their understanding. Was that the full revelation of God? No. None of you will ever go to your father and be saying, Erujeje, Erujeje. Smoke from nostrils, smoke from mouth. That's not our father. When he takes his steps, everywhere crumbles, your father. How will you go near? When Moses was talking to God, Moses never said, I was afraid. When Moses saw angels manifesting on Mount Sinai, where they gave law, he said, I exceedingly fear and quake. So the writer of Hebrews says, you have not come to that mountain which burned, that no one can, but you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Nothing there is fearful. Every day encourages your faith. Hallelujah. You have come. You came once. So the teaching, the explanation, the relation of God's word that you have, you cannot be singing, I will enter his gates. When you get to God's presence, if you have any sin in your life, you will die. The problem is, what were you doing outside of his presence? When you get to the presence, did you come? How did you come? When did you leave? When you were sleeping? Only one person comes to God's presence, sinners. They are the ones who are yet to come. You are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Hallelujah. You host God's presence through Christ Jesus every day of your life. Hallelujah. So, you know, sense knowledge will say, I will come. I will enter. You know, when you enter God's presence, why Jesus brought you in to God's presence. He first came to our presence, then he brought us in. You now host God's presence regularly. Hallelujah. So in your prayer and your conduct and your worship, it will show based on what you know. It will show. You know, right now, in worship, in prayer, the emotions will go through. That if you re-examine, you will know whether you are non-belief or not. You want to talk to your father. I'll first sing for 5 minutes. I will thank him for another 2 minutes. You have it written down. Then, I'll magnify. I don't know whether they are not the same. For 3 minutes. Then the next 10 minutes, I will discuss with him about what I was talking about, and what I say I need. Is he father? Yes. Where do you start from? Just ask. What should you do? You can now praise after, because you know he has had you. That's worship. Worship is your action knowing that God is faithful. He cannot deny himself. His faithfulness is not in answering your prayers. His faithfulness is seen in what he did for you in Christ Jesus. That's the praise of God. Hallelujah. That's the praise of God. So see what it says again. Back to that. So I saw, there stood a lamb in the midst of men, having seven or seven eyes, which are seven, next verse. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So again, you are looking at somebody who sits upon the throne. He took the book, figures of speech, to explain the sacrifice of Jesus. John chapter 16. Verse 7. John's Gospel chapter 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is what? Expedient for you. What's another word? Expedient? Necessary to your advantage. That I go away. So by now you already know from chapter 14. Is the going away departure or an arrival? Thank you. So if I go not away, the comforter will not come. And then that's where we have replacement theology. The comforter and me cannot be here together. I am here now, it can't come. When I go, it will now come. No. No. You've not heard that teaching before. Where have you been? You know, we cannot exist side by side. The Old Testament was the era of the Father. Now it's my era. When I go, the Spirit will now come. The Spirit era. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. You've not heard before? Interpretation. See what this is? If I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, or my departure is his coming, because my departure is actually a coming to you. Now verse 12. I don't want to go to the other verses, so I don't take me up. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. What does that tell you? The audience of Jesus was still interpreting many things carnally. When it started in chapter 14, you believe in God from now on is a sign to show that you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If we're not sure, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there may be also. While he was saying those weighty words, Philip was already saying, show us plainly of the Father, it will be okay for us. What does that tell you? Did you understand? Did you understand? Have I been so long with you, Philip, and yet you are saying that show us the Father? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Did you understand that fully? No. Now after saying all that, Jesus says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. What is it referring to? Capacity, understanding. You can't comprehend those things now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? What's that? The new birth. Through the new birth, your capacity to understand will not be what? Enlarged. Glory to God. The capacity will come. How be it when each of the truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. What is all truth? The many things I want to say to you. Put yourself in Jesus' shoes. You are dealing with people who all their life, because of a hardened heart, they always interpret God from the physical perspective. So if God is the kingdom of God to them, will be God will take over the Jewish, the Roman Empire, and give it back to the Jews. That's the interpretation of God's kingdom. And Jesus is going to tell them, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my soldiers would have fought for me. But now is my kingdom not of this world. So did they understand why in the garden Jesus did not physically fight back? Because in my kingdom, he said, if my kingdom were of this world, my soldiers would have fought for me. So my kingdom is not of this world. He said, but this is your power and the power of darkness. Or Jesus saw what's behind the activities of those who came to arrest him. Did the disciples understand? No. In fact, the Bible says that it was when Jesus rose from the dead, they began to put things together. Okay. We thought he was crazy when he said, destroy this temple in 3 days. There's something wrong with this man. 3 days. 46 years of building. 3 days. They now began to understand, okay, he was not talking about that physical temple. He was talking about the temple of his body. Because that's what they raised from the dead. He began to understand. Many things he said that looks like very strange. They began to understand. So Jesus wants to communicate certain things to you, and based on their level of comprehension, it was difficult. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Thank you for that. But as it's written, eye has not seen nor what? Ear heard. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has what? Prepared for them that love him. What are those that love him? Those that believe. Okay, so, but look at the next verse. But God has one revealed them to us by. So the things God prepared, which are prepared for those that believe him, are the things Jesus carried out, are the things Jesus said that in my Father's house. So God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. It's the same thing that Jesus was saying, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you. Paul now says, God has revealed them to us by Spirit. Verse 12 now says, but we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may know what? The things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not with words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost what? Teaches, comparing. So what we receive, are they physical or spiritual? Thank you. So if something is spiritual in nature, what do you require to enjoy it? Understanding. I have yet many things done to you, but you cannot bear them, or you cannot understand them now. That's the problem. So once you don't understand them now, your worship of God will not change. Do you notice disciples, they still used to go to the temple? It took a while. Is going to the temple wrong? No. You go to the temple with a clear understanding of what the temple now represents. You go to the temple as the temple of the living God. That's the difference. And they demonstrated it by the beautiful gift. That was why they healed that man before they went to the temple. Because the temple was the man who stood before the man and healed him. That's the temple of the living God now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is worship then? Your worship is based on your comprehension and understanding of God. The elder said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. John said, but what I saw by revelation was a lamb. Or God is a lamb. God's war is in the sacrifice of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, look at Luke 24. Look. Glory to God. Luke 24. Remember that. Remember Luke, Jesus was walking with those two people, Cleopas, and we suspect it may be his wife. We don't know who the other disciple was. They didn't mention the person's name. So they were discussing, and Jesus began to ask them, what things were they discussing? So I'm going to jump to verse 24 because of time. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did they see Jesus? No. Did they see an empty tomb? Yes. The women that came to report saw Jesus. They saw the empty tomb. The disciples that they came to testify to did not believe because they didn't see Jesus. How did Jesus expect them to believe? Not by seeing him or the empty tomb. Jesus expected them to believe what the prophet has spoken. Can you see that? What the prophet has spoken. So all fools are slow of heart to believe all. So what the disciples witnessed, or what the women testified to the disciples, which is, we saw an empty womb, we saw him, was something the prophets had already spoken. Hallelujah. Something that the prophets have already spoken. Because there was something that those people said that showed you what their interpretation was. Let me jump on to verse 19. Go back to verse 19 so that you can see what I'm talking about. And he said unto them, let me move back to verse 18. Okay, verse 17. Hallelujah. Are you there? And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these? You know, Jesus knows how to act drama. He knows what they're talking about. Let me just hear your. So, one man of communication like this that you have to one another as you walk and are sad. And one of them whose name was Cleopas answering said unto him, are you only a stranger? He's talking to Jesus. I mean, the way the guy must have felt after that, Kai, I messed up. I said, are you a stranger? You can imagine. He said, are you a stranger in Jerusalem and you have not known of the things which have come to pass there in this age? Jesus is wonderful. And Jesus said unto him, what things? What is going on? And he said nothing concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Aha, look at the interpretation. Which was a prophet, mighty. This is Savior. See his interpretation now. He was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Notice today is the third day. So we trusted it would have been him, would have been in Israel. They were looking at him as a political leader. Hardened heart. Fools. Slow of heart to believe. They are looking for a political leader in a spiritual leader. See? So, we trusted that been him. Certain women also of our company made us as soon as we were earlier at the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen the vision of angels which said that he was alive. So, angels said it, they still did not believe. Why? They were slow of heart to what? Believe. Hallelujah. So, look at what Jesus did. Verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Which things? The things they just reported to him about. The elders and the chief priests, they've crucified. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and then what? Enter into his glory. What is entering into his glory? His resurrection. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets. This is amazing. That means in Genesis, Jesus showed them how he was a tree of life. He showed them how Isaac pointed to him. He showed them why Joseph was in the pit for 3 days. He was showing them. He's not from the pit to the palace. Mm-mm. Why was he in the pit for 3 days? There's a reason why. Why none of the people around Pharaoh qualified to be prime minister except somebody that was not anywhere near the throne but was in prison to show where he came from. From the grave to the most exalted place in the universe. Hallelujah. He began to show them from the writings of Moses. He said, beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded, that's interpreted, explained unto them. That is where understanding. What is the problem? Slow of heart to believe. What is the cure? Teaching, explanation, right interpretation of scripture. He explained unto them in all the scriptures things concerning who? Himself. Hallelujah. Can you see that now? So, their being slow to believe was corrected by what? Teaching. Now, if you are reading this, don't think that took 10 minutes. It took time. Let me read on. See what it says. And they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went. As it means that they would have gone for that, but they continued saying, abide with us, for it's now towards evening. When did they start the journey? Likely around morning. By the time Jesus finished the exposition, it was now towards evening. They now continue to stay with them. Can you see that? So it took a while. Because beginning from Moses and all the prophets. So in all the books, he kept showing what Moses wrote that was actually about him. He must have written to them, show them how Moses struck the rock. Who will take the suffering that will produce salvation for man? The rock. Who is the rock? Christ. He must have showed them how the serpent that was upon the stick that was raised up. Whoever looketh on him. He was showing them one by one all the images. He must have taken them to the Passover lamb. Who is our Passover? Christ, our Passover. Can you see that? See, it is just some things are not common. See, you took a lamb in Egypt. You slaughtered it. You put the blood upon the post of your house. And the angel of death refused to come because of the blood of the lamb. What is holy about the blood of the lamb? If it's not pointed to a redemption that is greater than that. So, what did they focus on? They kept sacrificing lamb every year and not the lamb. They kept eating bread and drinking wine every year as Passover. And they lost sight of the real Passover. And the Passover is not bread and wine. It's a person. His name is Jesus. So, if your perception of Passover is physical, obviously, your worship of God will be faulty. The same thing will be, so that you will find words, listen carefully, in the Bible that you will turn into praise and worship and it will be praise and worship. And you got the lyrics on the Bible. You know, you hear that song from the Lion of Judah has broken every yoke. Breaking every yoke is true. The problem is the first part. Jehovah is a man of war. Yes. What kind of war? Because when they sing that song, brethren, let us lift up our voice. All your enemies. Fall down and... That is what the preacher said. What did people say? Die. It's a problem. And when I say die, he see vision of his uncle in the village. Uncle that has done nothing wrong. And they think God is behind such things. And the person they are praying to, he shows some things. The person they are praying to, they came to arrest him. And he touched none of them. One of those who were ignorant, one disciples, you know who I'm talking about, bros, cut off the ear of one of them. Jesus painstakingly put the ear back and told him, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. On the cross, what they say, Father, forgive them. They know not what means there's demonic activity behind the scene. We know who the real enemy is. That is the person you are now asking, using his name to kill your enemies. The one who forgives his enemies. Yeah. You know there's a problem with your prayer. Perhaps, are you not saying God will not judge them? He has judged them in the death of his son. I know you don't like that one. No, let us judge. He has judged them in the death of his son. He has. The Lamb has prevailed. The book has been opened. God's character has been displayed to us. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Are you in Luke 24? All right. So see what it says. But they constrained in verse 29, saying, I abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is fast spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat. It's not Passover now. I hope you know Passover was before the resurrection. Say amen. Okay, so it's not Passover now. So this is not Passover. So see, he came while I sat at meat with them. He took bread and blessed it. That's the word to speak well of something. And gave it to them, and their eyes were open. Were their eyes closed before? Look at Luke's narrative. Were their eyes closed before? Was this how they were walking? No. Luke is saying something. All fools love had to believe. What did he do to those who love had to believe? Beginning from Moses and all the prophets. Then when he sat at meat, he did something to bread that nobody else does. Except him. What did he say about the bread? Did he remember what he had said about bread before? What is about the bread? Take it. This is my body. So when he took the bread and spoke well about it, they remembered. When he took the bread, I am the bread of life. Then they understood who was before them. He didn't change appearance, so it was their heart that opened up. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Then why did Jesus vanish? Because understanding has come. And when understanding is present, you don't need to see Jesus physically. Hallelujah. I know you want to see Jesus in the vision, I know. No, you want Jesus, you want to sit down and say, Phoebe, I like the head you did last week. Do that one. It's nicer. That one is better than this one. Do that one. Like that's want. You want to just be involved in natural affairs. And meanwhile, I can say that to you without appearing. Because the appearance is not what you need. It's indwelling. The revelation is what you need. Hallelujah. Because your revelation of him affects and influences your what? Worship. So you notice that if you use that interpretation, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into what? His glory, and beginning from, so what is Moses writing about? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. What should our worship be about? The sufferings of Christ and the glory that has what? Follow. Can you see that? So as Christ suffered, as he entered his glory, should our worship speak about what is going to happen? It has happened. Thank you. So when we pick up songs that do not speak or reflect that truth, it's not called worship. Because worship does not proceed from man. Worship proceeds from a revelation of who God truly is, as he is in Christ Jesus. So when it says fools love, that means they've been hearing the same message in the teaching of the word of God in the temple since, but they didn't understand what they were hearing. Look at what Paul said to the crowd that was preaching to the Jews in Acts chapter 13. Acts 13, verse 27. For they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets which are read. How many times? Say every Sabbath day. Say every Sabbath day. Okay. How many of you know what Sabbath day is? According to Jesus. Sabbath day. If you follow that one now, we won't be having service on Sunday. It will be Saturday. I hope you know. So, we should be having service on Saturdays. Not Sundays. What will we now be doing on Sunday? You see? So they that dwell at Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not. That's the problem. Nor yet the voice of the prophet. So were they hearing? Yes. Did they understand? No. Whom brings understanding? Jesus. Through the gospel. They have fulfilled them in what? Condemning him. So hearing doesn't mean you understand. Acts 26:21. We're bringing this to a close, so it's good for us to open scriptures. Acts 26:21. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Next verse. Having therefore obtained what? Help of God. I continue to this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So all the epistles of Paul, where did he get them from? Moses and the prophets. I'm not saying any other thing. There's nothing new I'm saying. The difference is how you people have been hearing. The same thing you've been hearing is what I'm saying. Only I'm giving you the interpretation and explanation. I'm not saying any other thing that's different. Because when you hear those things, where there is about that, you don't fight. But I'm saying it now, you people are fighting and you want to kill me. That means the interpretation is a problem. It means all fools, slow of heart to believe. That's the problem. I'm giving interpretation and then you people start fighting. The same way they dealt with Stephen. Huh? You call us stiff-necked. Stephen told them, how many of the prophets have your fathers not killed? You're always resisting the Holy Ghost. What does it mean? They're always resisting interpretation of the scriptures. Stephen told them, don't you know that even your prophet, you say you know the prophet, they told you that God doesn't live in a temple made with hands. So, see what it says again. Next verse. What did he say? That Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show what? Light unto the people and to the... So, who are the people? Who are the people? The Jews now. The Jews. And then to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. Can you see that? So, I'm not saying any other thing. So, what did Moses and all the prophets say? Only one thing. Christ should suffer. He should be the first to rise from the dead. So, within the law of Moses is a revelation of Christ's suffering and his resurrection. It's written clearly, plainly there in law of Moses. And that's what worship is. That's what our songs of worship should come from. So, our worship, our praise of God is in what he has done. In my father's house, there are many mansions. 1 Peter 2:9. The Bible says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth what? The praises. So how does God show forth praises? Through you, through me. So you are the praise of God today. You hear what I said? You are the praise of God today. You are the praise of God today. Because you are God's workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus. Unto good works. You are the praise of God today, that you show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his. So how do we show forth in our conduct, in our character, in our singing? The praise of God. We are the praise of God. So we don't come to his presence, we host his presence. Hallelujah. We host God's presence. That's where we are meticulous about the worship and our. You don't sing a song because it sounds good to the ear. It doesn't sound good to the heart. Because if you sing wrongly, again, all fools, slow of heart to believe. That's what you're all fools, slow of heart to what? Because some people, it's a melody that they're reacting to. I believe in melody, okay? It's melody, I mean, but unfortunately, worship is not melody. Worship is a teaching, is the revelation of God as seen in Christ. What do we name as? The Lamb of God. That take away the sins of the old one. The Lamb that stands in the midst of the throne. Let's go back to the book of Revelation. We close from there tonight. Which verse were we in? Revelation chapter 5, which verse were we in? So when they had taken the book, the four beasts and 420 others, they fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them one harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Next verse. And they sung what? A new song. Why is the new song? Because they now have a new understanding. What song were they singing? Lion, lion, lion. When you start singing, these are the days of Elijah, you know you are singing lion song. You are singing lion song. That's what you are doing. They sung a new song. What's a new song? A song that's based on the revelation of God as a lamb. There's this song that says that you are the lion and the lamb. Beautiful song if they can remove the lion part. It can't be both. It has to be one. It cannot be both. Both are diametrically opposed to one another. I hope you know that. Lion and lamb. In fact, lamb is food for lion. You see, there's something. You just feel like when you exaggerate. When I exaggerate, you see, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, as a roaring lion. You don't want to compare girls with that. Going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The adversary goeth about as a roaring lion, whom resisteth. So, how can you compare girls with that? Lions destroy. The only attribute of lion that is ever attribute that is good is the boldness part. The righteous as bold as what? A lion. When they take that boldness, leave any other thing alone. And that's what he's saying. So it's not used in a good way in the scriptures. And you have to follow the slant of scriptures that followed last night. So go back to Revelation now. And they sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open this seal, for thou wast slain, and you have what? Look at the song. Look at the wordings. Did he say thou will be slain? No. Abraham can sing thou will be slain in Abraham's day. But Abraham will not even sing that today. Because Abraham was saying you will be slain. But Abraham knows now. Because Abraham has come out of spiritual death. So thou was slain, not that you will be slain. It has happened. It says, and you have what? Redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and what? Nation. In other words, he is not just the savior of the Jews, but now the savior of what? The whole world. Hallelujah. That's a new song. It's our new song. He was slain. He has redeemed us by his blood. What's our now for blood? By his resurrection. He has what? Redeemed us. The sufferings of Christ are the glory that should what? Follow. So when songs arise through us, it should reflect those two cardinal truths. The sufferings and what? The glory. And we should speak about the sufferings in the past. We should give about the glory in the present tense, what? Continuous. That's our worship of God. Glory to God. That's our worship of God. Let's lift up our hands tonight and thank him. Thank you, Father. We exalt you. We give you praise for this clarity, for this understanding, our songs, our worship, our understanding is refreshed. Thank you for clarity. In our fellowship with you, we thrive on our understanding. We walk in the knowledge. Thank you, Father. We are particular because you are particular. We show for the praise of him who has called us out of darkness. In this marvelous light, the praise of God is upon our lips. Your might, your majesty is seen as you overcame as a lamb. And in you we have overcome also. Thank you, because your own violence is peace. A peace that we now enjoy. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have that peace forever and ever. We have access by faith into this grace where we stand. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Hallelujah to your name forever. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.